נשמת נחמה בת מאיר. Okay, we're going on moving to the next parasha in Sefer Dvarim, which is Parashat Ve'et Hanan. In our parasha, we also have Aseret HaDibrot again. But maybe one of the main lessons of this parasha is the beginning. Ve'et Hanan el Hashem ba'et ha'ilemo. What's the meaning of Ve'et Hanan? And what is Ba'et Ha'i Le'emor? Are we talking about now? Are we talking when? What is Ba'et Ha'i? It's very strange. Ba'et Ha'i, it sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu is telling, okay, and I now pleaded God and asked him for whatever. The truth is, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, there is a small problem here, because we know Moshe Rabbeinu, the leader, he loves the people. And whatever he does, the first concern is the people, not him. And here it looks like, who is he praying for? For himself. And it's very strange. You know, everybody died. All the people he took out of Egypt that were promised to come to the promised land, they all died in the desert because of their sins. And Moshe Rabbeinu, he wants to go into Eretz Israel. It sounds like very egoistic. Let's say it doesn't suit Moshe Rabbeinu behavior. Very strange. We don't think about it, but think about it for a minute. The Torah is telling us that Moshe Rabbeinu is asking God to let him go into Eretz Israel. And if we're talking about this terrible thing that happened in the desert, that they were going around for 40 years, and all those from the age of 20 couldn't go, were denied going into Eretz Israel. And I would think that Moshe Rabbeinu, if he didn't do anything or was not successful in taking them into Eretz Israel, this is not the right thing to do. But the truth is that Moshe Rabbeinu did hear a very clever thing. And Ba'et Ha'i, we're not talking about now. We're talking about when the Gzerah was given. And then he wanted Am Yisrael to go into Eretz Israel, but he knew they sinned. It's impossible to ask God after the big sin they did, and it wasn't only one sin, but we're not going to go now to count the sins. But God was very angry, and God, first of all, wanted to destroy all Am Yisrael. And then after Moshe Rabbeinu asked, he agreed to let Am Yisrael live. But they're not going to go into Eretz Israel. So what is Moshe Rabbeinu doing? Moshe Rabbeinu is pleading for himself. And the intention is, I didn't do anything wrong. I love Eretz Israel. I didn't talk anything badly. I took all the people there. Now, if God is going to let me go into Eretz Israel, what am I going to do now? Ask him to let also all the other people. In other words, he's not praying now, because now it's already finished. That's it. They all died. We're talking about when the Gzerah was given years ago. He asked, pleaded God to let him go in. Of course, there are a lot of other explanations, but I love this explanation because it's impossible to think about Moshe Rabbeinu really wanting something for himself after everything that happens. Also, after he is denied of going into it, so he's asking, you know, I just want to go in, like, go around and come back. And what is this whole idea? What does Moshe Rabbeinu really want? And here is a big lesson for us on our schut. Moshe Rabbeinu understands and feels that there is only one place in the world where you can do the mitzvahs 100%. Where is it?
Eretz
Israel. And he feels, if I cannot go in and have this feeling, I'm missing something very, very important. Because God is asking, what do you want? You want the mitzvahs of Eretz Israel? I'm going to give it to you, because there is also mitzvahs that you cannot do abroad. You can only do them in Eretz Israel. But Moshe Rabbeinu is talking about something else. It's not only making the mitzvahs or not making, or having olah and masrot and all the things that connected to the Eretz Yisrael. That's not only this, it's the quality of doing the mitzvahs. It's the combination of the Jewish nation with the Holy Torah and the Holy Land. This is the combination that gets you to the highest spot that you can get on this earth. And this is what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us. He says, look at me, how I stood and asked again and again and again and again. There's only one reason he stopped. Because we understand God, and God is telling him in Pasuk Kafvav 26, Vayitaber Hashem bi lemanchem velo shama elai. God didn't listen to all the praise I did and all the pleading and everything. Vayomer Hashem elai, rav lach. Enough. Al tosef daber elai od badavar hazeh. Don't go on praying. What does it mean? God is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, if you're going to go on praying, I'm going to let you go in. But there is a problem. If you go in, Am Israel are going to suffer. That's connected to what we had this week. We had Tisha B'Av this week. Unfortunately, we woke up the next morning and the temple is still not there. And Moshe Rabbeinu, whatever he did was permanent. You couldn't change it, couldn't do anything, you couldn't destroy it. Now, there is a mizmor in Tehillim, mizmor le'asaf ba'u goyim benachalatecha. This is a mizmor that talks about the destruction of the temple. So the Gemara asks, mizmor? Is this a song? This is a kinah. How do you say kinah in English?
Lament.
A what?
Lament.
This is not something to sing, this is a sad thing. But he says, if Moshe Rabbeinu would have gone into Eretz Israel and built the temple could not be destroyed. In other words, when Am Yisrael sinned, who is going to be destroyed? If the temple cannot be destroyed, Am Yisrael is going to be destroyed. But now that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't come into Eretz Israel, what Kodesh Baruch Hu did, he put his rage on the stones and not on the people. So this is a mizmor. This is a good thing. And when Moshe Rabbeinu understands that if he goes in, Am Yisrael are going to suffer, he says, it's better off, thousands of me are going to die, and nobody from Am Yisrael. And again we see the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. So, however we look at it, and all the interpretation and all the explanation, we come to one conclusion. Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest. It's unbelievable how he acts when, and even when we think that he is egoistic, he is really, his concern is on Am Yisrael. And when he gets, when God tells him, I swore two swores, one is that you're not going into Eretz Israel, and the other one, that Am Yisrael not going. Now, if you.
Sorry,
says the Midrash, באותה שעה נתקררה רוח הקודש ואמר לו הקדוש ברוך הוא, הקדוש ברוך הוא told Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, שתי שבועות נשבעתי. I swore two things. One, that you're going to die, and the other one, not to destroy Am Israel. To cancel both my swears, impossible. So you choose. If you're going to live, im tirtze lichyot, yovdu Israel. It means that Am Yisrael are going to be destroyed. Amar lefanav, ribono, riboni, my Lord, ba'alila ata ba elai, ata tofes achevel b'shtei rashim, what you hold the rope in the two ends. Ya'bed Moshe ve'elef kamehu. Moshe Rabbeinu will go, and thousands like him, and not one from Am Yisrael. So again we see the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. Va'etchanan el Hashem ba'et ha'i le'emor. We also learn, says Or HaChaim HaKadosh, the way to daven. What is the way when we want to ask God, but we're going to daven, how do we do this? How do we pray to God? Says Or HaChaim HaKadosh, there are four things, and they are all in the first pasuk. Va'etchanan el Hashem ba'et ha'i le'emor. One is Ve'etchanan, the second one El Hashem, the third one Ba'et Ha'i, and the fourth one Le'emor. Ve'etchanan is to plead. The first thing when I want to pray to God, and I want Him to listen to me, those are the four things I have to take in consideration. The first one, Tfila Le'ani Ki Yatov. I pray to God in Tachanunim, like a poor man who's got nothing. That's the first thing, Ve'etchanan. The second one, El Hashem. I pray only to God directly. I don't need messengers. I don't need in-between people. I don't need dealers. I don't need nobody. I pray directly to God. Ba'et Ha'i, what is Ba'et Ha'i? At that time, there are times that are better to daven than other times. For example, when we're talking about Shachris, Mincha, and Mariv, there is a time. And after this time passes by, it's not the same quality. In other words, it's also important to know when to daven. Then, le'emor. What is le'emor? You have to, when you pray and ask God for something, be precise. Tell God exactly what you want. Or, says, she'imalu mishalot tibcha letova, that whatever you ask is going to be for the good. There is this famous story about this guy going in the desert. He's very tired. So he's asking God, God, I cannot move anymore. I'm very hard. Please send me a donkey. 2 minutes later, this Bedouin goes with a... How do you call a female donkey? Is there a name?
Are you thinking of a mule?
A mule? No, a mule is a parrot.
It's different.
No, a mule is not. Okay, never mind. Okay, a female donkey, okay? Gives birth to a little donkey. And this Jew, which is going in the desert, very tired, he asks God for a donkey. So this guy sees this, hey, come here, come here, here. And he puts on his back the small donkey. So he got a donkey. But he's not riding the donkey is riding him. So you have to be very careful what you ask. You have to ask, be precise about what you ask. And says Or HaChaim HaKadosh, that when we do those things, this is like a recipe for our praise to go directly up to God. So we pray in a way that not from, I am a big shot. We pray from humbleness. Tfila le'ani ki yatov. We pray like a poor person who's got nothing. Etchanan, pleading God, asking God. El Hashem, we pray only to God, nobody else. Ba'etai, and also have to keep the right times to pray. So after we understood the power of praying, because what God is really saying here, if Moshe Rabbeinu would have gone praying, what would have happened? He would have gone into Eretz Yisrael. And the only reason that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go on praying is because he understood that it's not going to be good for Am Yisrael, so he stopped. We also talked about the quality of doing the mitzvahs here in Eretz Yisrael, because it's very strange. Because he says, you know what? You're not going to let me go in like permanently, like to live in Eretz Yisrael. At least let me go around it. First, he wanted only like to taste the taste of how it is to the combination of a human being with the Torah, with Eretz Yisrael. Now we, Baruch Hashem, are here in Eretz Yisrael. And look what Moshe Rabbeinu did in order to even only go through Eretz Yisrael, and God didn't let him. How do we behave? What do we do about it? Do we really understand the importance or the quality or the big zchut that we got, that we hear in Eretz Yisrael?
You really feel it when you come back from
Chutz-Laretz. You came back now from Chutz-Laretz, you come to Eretz Israel, and when you go to Jerusalem, you feel on top. This is an unbelievable feeling. And everybody has got a little, how do you say, regishut? Yes, a little. He feels it. Okay. So God is telling him here, look at the country, look how it looks. And then there is another interesting point in the parsha. But before I go into it, I want to another point in when we pray. Unfortunately, we all the time we get to the same point, but praying to God and doing the mitzvahs, there is a way of doing it. And in our parsha, there is something very interesting, a pasuk that says, I'll find it in a minute. Perek Daled, Pasuk Aleph Bet Gimel. Perek Daled. Perek Daled, Aleph, the beginning of the Perek. Ve'ata Yisrael, Shema El HaChukim, got it?
One number.
Perek Daled, Pasuk yeah. 1, the first Pasuk.
Same? Yes. Daled Aleph.
Daled Aleph. 4:1. Ve'ata Yisrael, got it? Shema el ha'chukim ve'el ha'mishpatim asher anochi melamed etchem la'asot demand tichyu uvatem v'yishtem et ha'aretz asher Hashem elokei. Do you see here something strange? Ve'ata Yisrael, Shema el ha'chukim ve'el ha'mishpatim asher anochi melamed etchem la'asot. It's not only singular, there is a... If we go on Pasuk Bet, לא תוסיפו לדבר אשר אנוכי מצווה אתכם. The first Pasuk, teaching you. The second Pasuk, ordering you. Now, where did you see teaching you? Did you see it somewhere? Normally it would be מצווה אתכם. Those are the mitzvahs that I order you to do. What is מלמד אתכם? And here is a very important point. In order to do the mitzvahs in the right way, we have to learn. What's the meaning of learning? The learning is, לא תוסיפו על הדבר אשר אנוכי מצווה אתכם ולא תגרו ממנו לשמור את מצוות. Don't add anything and don't take off anything. Just... I saw a Dvar Torah I wrote a few years ago, I think. And it's so interesting. Like, everybody wants to bring his own opinion and his own ideas to the way you should do the mitzvahs. And unfortunately, through generations, we had groups of Jews that just left Am Yisrael because of it. By the way, also, this Jesus guy, he is Jewish. And he also decided to go to take the Bible and give it his own interpretation. Not what he was taught by his father and grandfather. He decided to add stuff on it and to take things out. Does it remind you somebody?
Wasn't that Paul?
What? The Reform movement. The Reform movement do the same thing. And by the way, I looked in the dictionary. What is Reform?
Reform.
Against what's written here. The Torah says, learn the Torah the way your parents give it to you, your ancestors give it to you, and this is the way you're going to make it. Lo tosifu, don't add anything on it, and don't take anything off. Do exactly what I command to do. Because otherwise you tell God that you know better than God. I think last year we talked about it, that I heard on Tisha B'Av, one of the, I don't know how to call him, the rabbi of the Reform rabbi, I don't know how to call him, a rabbi.
A rabbi.
I don't know about the female.
No, he was a male, by the way, he was a male. By accident, he was a male. And he was talking about the Reform movement, that today they are getting closer and closer to the Orthodox. Because, like, for a time, fasting on Tisha B'Av, and the main thing is, I think the first shul was in Hamburg, in Germany, I think. I don't remember where it was. And then they took the Siddur and took out all the paths that are connecting to Eretz Yisrael. And like they took Eretz Yisrael as an idea, not as a real thing. And now they come and claim a part of Eretz Yisrael, while them themselves just took themselves out. And if you find a Siddur from those days, you will see no Tzion, no Eretz Yisrael. Nothing. They took all those parts out. They took other parts also out and changed a few things. And what is the Torah saying? Lo tosifu al hadavar asher anochi metzave etchem velo tiyom lishmor et mitzvot Hashem elokchem asher anochi metzave etchem. When you pray to God, and you know, not every time you see that God is listening to you, or you think God is not listening to your prayers. First of all, they have to understand God listens to all our prayers. There's not one prayer that God doesn't listen. But not everything we ask is good for us right now. And also, we don't even know what's happening when with our prayers up there. Because God takes them and He uses them in the right way. But the prayers go up. And as long as, this is this mashal, I don't remember who brought this mashal, I think. Don't remember. It's a father and son went into a forest and they lost their way and they lost each other. Now they were looking for each other. Now if they are still on the same same passageway, so, and going towards each other, eventually they will find each other. But if they're not at the same way, they're not at the same path, they're on a different path, they will never find each other. And if they go in the opposite direction, then they also will never find each other. And that's exactly the idea. If we're going in the right way, in the right direction, on the right path, we will get to God. But if we're looking for a different way, and if we're going in the opposite way, we will never find God. We can put it in nice words, we can call it whatever we want to call it, but at the end of the day, there is a way. And only if you're on the same way, you can meet each other. But if you're not at the same way, or you're going in opposite direction, you will never. It's like the guy comes to the train station. He needs to go to Jerusalem. And the train to Jerusalem is an old train. But to Haifa, there is this new modern train. So this guy tells him, why do you need to go with this old train? Come at the new train. Says, yeah, you're right, but there is only one problem. It's not my direction. So anybody here in this world who doesn't like the way our Torah is written, he wants the modern way. So he goes on the modern train. So maybe he enjoys a few, materialistic enjoyments, and he has a few moments of happiness, which we all know, happiness from materialistic stuff, from physical stuff, it's only temporary, very temporary. But then, this train takes him where? To hell. Not to Jerusalem, not to God. So even though our train is an old train and sometimes doesn't look very modern, but that's the only train and that's the only way, and only on this train you will get to the right destination. So you must be stupid to choose the other train, because the other train doesn't take you. And don't think about it. The longer you stay, the farther away you go, because it's opposite direction. In other words, not only you're not in the right train, you're also going in the opposite directions.
It's human nature.
Of course.
Curiosity.
Yes, curiosity. And unfortunately, we are tempted to everything we've got around us. And I know it's not easy. That's why we sit and learn and try to understand. That's what the parsha is telling us. You have to learn. It's not just obeying or doing, because if you do things with and you don't understand anything and never learned anything, you can within 2 minutes you can go on a different way. If somebody comes, looks to you like he's very clever, and he tells you things that are against the Torah, but you never learned. You don't know exactly what is right and wrong. So you can go on the wrong way. So first of all, says God, I'm teaching you. You have to teach, you have to learn. After you learn, then you can do the mitzvahs. The Kuzari, he wants to worship God. So he does those things. The angel comes to him in the night and says, your intention are unbelievably good, but your action are no good. So one of the question is very interesting. So why doesn't the angel tell him what action to do? Because from this moment, this book of Kuzari is telling us all the discussion that the king has in order to find the right way. So the question is, if already an angel revealed himself to him and he's got the good intention, why isn't the angel telling him, let's sit and I teach you what you have to do? What you did is wrong. Okay, tell him what's right. He doesn't tell him. Why? Why doesn't he tell him what's the right way? You know why? If you do things like a parrot, like a monkey, like you copy what you see, you will find a problem on the way and you can go the other way. But if you learn, you understand what you're doing, then it's a whole different aspect. Then you look at things differently. So in order to do the right thing, we have to learn what is the right thing. We're supposed to take the Torah and learn it. So the angel really is sending the king of Khuzar on a mission. But there is another thing here. If you seek for the truth by yourself and you ask yourself the question and the others and you get to the conclusion, what is now the level of your belief? Much higher than if somebody will feed you. Yagata umatzata ta'amin. If you work on it and you try by yourself, and you achieve it, it's going to be very hard for somebody to change your way. But if it comes easy, how my father says, "Mashiba bekalut, olech bekalut." What comes easy, goes easy. And that's life. So in other words, if we want really to go on the right way, one of the big mitzvahs is Limud Torah. So we have to learn. We have to sit and learn. That's what we're doing here. Not just read, or the rabbi is going to tell us, do this, do this, do that. Okay, this is good for somebody who's got no seichel. But Baruch Hashem, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us seichel. And Kodesh Baruch Hu is telling us, in our parsha, an unbelievable pasuk. Where is it? Ushmartem v'asitem, pasuk vav, and perek dalet, and you will keep and do those mitzvahs, ki hi chochmatchem uvinatchem le'enei amim. If we will go in the right way, everybody is going to say, look at this clever nation. Look at this clever nation. Look how clever they are. Mm-hmm. And this is only rak am chacham venavon agoy gadol hazeh. Now, in our situation today, where not everybody is keeping the Torah and going in the right way, we are considered in the world the Jewish nation as a very clever nation. And we see it all over the world, with all the invention that comes out of Israel, and all the invention being made by Jews through the generations. And this is also without a connection, the right connection, let's say, with God. So think to yourself, what's going to happen if we're going to be with the right connection? Because definitely we see there is something different in Am Yisrael than the other nations. We are, how do you say, 0.002. of the whole world. But when you check the influence of the Jewish nation on the world, it's unbelievable. No other nation in the world has this influence. Rak am chacham venavon agoy gadol hazeh. And I think this is one of the psukim I love the most. Ki mi goy gadol asher lo elokim krovim elav. Who is a nation, a people that are so close to God that they can just talk with God whenever they want to? It's this story I told you in the past about this guy. He had a problem. So he went to this macher, which is also was a righteous guy who helped people. But he was very, very busy. It was very hard to have an appointment with him. And he asked for an appointment, and one day he's got a phone call. He can see you now, but you have to get here very quickly. He goes down, takes a taxi, tells him, "I pay you double. You have to get me to the place and around the right time." He's all sweating, climbing the stairs, coming up to the door, and the minute he knocks the door is open, and the secretary of this guy says, "I'm sorry, I wanted to phone you, but an emergency happened and he had to go." Now this guy goes down. He's all disappointed and desperate. He's got this big problem, and he was counting on this guy to help him. He's sitting on the bench down there, and he's taking an apple out of his pocket, and he's saying, "Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu." And suddenly he realized, what do I say? Baruch, blessed is. Who do I talk to? In what way do I talk to him? Baruch Ata. You. What's to mean you? You, I talk to somebody that's here with me. Not somebody that I don't see. Blessed are you. Baruch Ata, Hashem. He says, what? God is here with me. And you start jumping from happiness. I don't need nobody. I can talk directly to God. I don't need any middleman. And he's putting himself on the side there and starts really praying, as we says, Vayitchanan el Hashem ba'et ahi le'emor. He is praying from the deepest of his heart, feeling that he's nothing, but he feels the connection to God. El Hashem, Vayitchanan el Hashem ba'et ahi. And this was the right time, because now he realized this connection with God. Le'emor, and he asked exactly what he wanted to ask. 2 days later, the problem was solved. This is our connection with God. There is nobody in the world that's got this connection. Only Am Yisrael. But we have to use it in the right way. So we have to learn what we should do, what we shouldn't do. Why was the temple destroyed? Sinat Chinam. There are so many groups among us. And it's not nice to say. But we have a job. And that's the whole idea, by the way, of the 3 weeks. The whole idea of the 3 weeks that lead from Sivaz Arbetamuz to Tisha B'Av. And I don't know if we talked about it. Very shortly we have Tu B'Av. What is Tu B'Av?
Celebration
of love. The connection between love and destruction to teach us a big lesson. The same month. And the same month, what do we wait? Tisha B'Av, we wait. It didn't come. Hopefully it will come tomorrow or the day after. I don't know. Maybe tonight. The Mashiach. When is it supposed to come, they say? When is one of the big times? Tisha B'Av. In other words, it is in our power to build the temple. But we have to start changing our attitude. Stop hating everybody. Stop being jealous of everybody. Stop looking about what he's got and the other one. I know, I'm talking to myself also. He got a new car, he got a new house, he's got this, he's got this. He goes abroad every minute, he does this, that. The way he prays, this guy, what this. Everybody is a little different from you. You don't like him so much. If he's got more than you, again, you don't like him so much. That's sinat chinam. Whatever God promised you, you're going to get exactly. Not less and not more. In other words, what your friends got has nothing to do with you. Nothing. And jealousy? What exactly do you get from jealousy? Do you get anything out of it? What? Nothing. Just you're suffering. Yeah. That's what you get. And it's so stupid. But I heard I don't know how to say it in English, but it says, I heard the Rav Adam Sinai says, we're talking about midot tovot and midot raot. Good, how do you say midot? Good characteristic or good
quality.
What? Good qualities and bad qualities. You cannot say bad qualities. Okay. Okay. So now when you say on somebody that is good, how do you say it? You say Baal Midot. Did you hear this phrase? What is Baal Midot? It means that he's good or bad?
Good.
Good. Why? But you have bad Midot and you have good Midot. So why is Baal Midot good?
You consider him positive.
Why? What's the, I don't know. I want to understand. Why is the...
He has more good qualities and good... behaves.
But that's what we say. We say Baal Midot. And Baal Midot, it can be, maybe he's got jealousy. Maybe he's got fear. Maybe he's got, he's lazy.
Then you wouldn't say Baal Midot.
So what would you say? Baal Midot.
Baal Midot.
What would you say?
Does it mean that the good qualities outweigh the negative ones?
Chasem.
Chasem. There are no bad qualities. God doesn't do anything bad. What is Baal Midot? balabait al amidot. He owns the midot. He is in charge on them. He is control. Baal midot, not ish imidot. Hu abaal shel amidot. He is in charge. He takes the midot and uses them in the right way. That's baal midot. Yesh lo midot tovot. Seder. Yesh lo midot raot. Lo beseder. Baal midot. That's the great people. This is a guy that takes any midah there is, any quality there is, if it's bad or if it's good, he uses it in the right way. That is baal midot. It's very interesting. I never thought about it this way. You say baal midot, baal midot. Baal midot, if you think about it, doesn't sound so good. Because not all the midot we think are good. But when we understand and realize, that's the way we use them. And if you think at any midah you think, you will find there is a way to use it or abuse it. Any midah. Even humbleness can be abused. And jealousy can be the highest level of midah. It depends. What is exactly your jealousy? I want to end the shiur with talking about keeping this thing. It says, "Rak yishamer lecha ushmor nafshecha meod." I think this is maybe the leading pasuk for us not to change things. "Rak yishamer lecha," be aware, and keep your soul, keep it very much, very much. "Pen tishkach," not to forget. The thing that you saw, asher ra'u enecha, ufen yasuru milvavcha, that you will take them down off your heart. Kol yemechayecha v'odatam levanecha v'livnei vanecha. The Torah is telling us, this is what you saw. This is the way to do it, and this is exactly the way you're going to pass it to the next generation. And the next generation to the next generation. Pen tishkach, don't forget. Don't change, as we says, lo tosifu v'lo tamid. Don't add on the Torah and don't do anything less. And when you do this, and you're going in the right way, then you will get to the right destination. I saw this very interesting story. The story that happened in Cairo around 200 years ago. It was a good time for the Jews in Cairo, and the rabbi had a lot of power from the government, and he could do a lot of things. He could arrest people for religious reasons. And they were at the time very prosperous, and they started going on the same way it happened in Egypt years before. They started going out of the ghetto and were opening businesses in the middle of Cairo in the best places. And when Tisha B'Av came, one of those people, he had a bakery. He was a very good baker. And he opened this shop on Tisha B'Av. And there the minhag was, on Tisha B'Av you don't open shops, especially not food shops. In the afternoon, but definitely not on Erev Tisha B'Av, a bakery with all the cakes and with the smells and everything. This is not a. So the rabbi sent a messenger to him, please shut up your shop. Didn't listen. Second messenger, didn't listen. Third messenger, and then it was chutzpah, he says, what? Why do I have to close the shop? Do I have to lose money because of something that happened 1,700 years ago? I have to close because the temple was destroyed? Because of this I have to lose money? And he kept his shop open. Months came by and we got before Purim. A week before Purim, two big officers from the police come to this baker and take him to custody. He says, why? What did they do? Didn't do anything. He says, no, the rabbi ordered to take you, to arrest you. Now, this guy, a week before Purim, bakery in Cairo at that time, everybody's buying what? Mishtoche Manu. And they were buying. This was the best time of the year for him, because they were all buying those old best stuff. And he couldn't believe it that he is in jail. Instead of selling and making profit, he sits in jail. And a day passes by and the rabbi doesn't even tell him why he's there. Nobody approaches him. He even heard the Megillah in jail. While everything was going around, he was in jail. When Purim ended, two officers come, you can go home. Why? What? Nothing. No explanation. What do you think he did? The first thing he did, run to the rabbi. Rabbi, why did you put me in jail? What did I do? He says, you remember, on Tisha B'Av you opened your shop? So I put you in Tisha B'Av. This was a long time ago. Why did you put me now? This is the best time of the year for me. You know how much money I lost? He says, do you remember what you told me on Tisha B'Av? You told me that you don't have to lose money because of something that happened 1,700 years ago. So I tell you, you don't have to earn money for something that happened more than 2,000 years ago. Don't have to make money. And this is, unfortunately, it's a nice story, like to teach us a lesson. You know, we choose what is good for us, and what is not so good for us, we just go around it. But the Torah wants us to do it in the right way. And even if sometimes we cannot do everything we want to do and run after all the desires we have, that's the way of the Torah. And by the way, it's all good. At the end of the way, you'll find out that everything is good, even if it doesn't look so good. And that's exactly the idea. And that is the basic of our belief. And it all is, if you've got something is doesn't go exactly as you want, there is, God is there waiting for you just to talk with him. Sometimes even God wants you to pray because you maybe didn't pray properly, didn't do it the right way. So the Torah tells us there's a tremendous power in praying. If Moshe Rabbeinu would have prayed a little more, he would have got something against what God wanted. And this is a big lesson for us, the power of praying. So if you feel bad, and if you feel something doesn't go your way, so first of all, maybe God wants you to pray. And even if you only start praying, everything is going to change. And sometimes, if it doesn't change the way we want, you have to realize that there is a reason for it. But the fact is that the praise are going up, and there is a way to pray. And I think that our parsha is teaching us a big lesson about the power of praying, the power of Eretz Yisrael, the quality of us being here in Eretz Yisrael doing the mitzvahs, but it's telling us, don't change anything. Don't add, don't take less. We have to go the way that our ancestors went, the same way we are going, the same path. And if we go in the same way, Bezrat Hashem, we can rebuild the temple, which is waiting for us to build. And the only way to build is if we start loving each other, even though, as we said, we have different opinions. Sometimes we don't agree with each other. Sometimes we have people that do, like I said, if I have an argument with a Reformed Jew, he says, I don't hate you. I love you. But I don't love the way what you do. You cannot accept me to accept your way. For me, it's the wrong way. But it doesn't mean I don't love you. I hate what you do. I hate what you stand for. But I don't hate you. And if we make this small definition, maybe things are going to look differently. It doesn't matter who he is and what he is. But we have, first of all, to love everybody. Then, doesn't mean if I love somebody, and by the way, Ahavat Chinam doesn't mean that I have to let go of my principles. That's not Ahavat Chinam. That's being stupid. It's like, you remember the restaurant here that become kosher. Yeah. And this lady from Meretz,
yeah,
she decided to go against it. But what happened eventually? the restaurant, he got a free advertisement. It was full up. But that's exactly to show us. They're talking about being tolerant. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to them, where is their tolerance? Bezrat Hashem, we should pray to God and hopefully the Mashiach will come. Be merabi.